There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 602, October 6th, 2012. Nasser?
This edition of F1 Weekly Podcast is brought to you by the Geisha Grid Girls of Suzuka. Click on them. You know you want to.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Schumacher retires again. Will Raikkonen have patience with Lotus F1? And there's trouble a-brewing. Speed Channel to drop F1 coverage in 2013. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Thank you very much, sir. Good to see you again.
Good to see you. Everything is wonderful here in the studios. The maids did an outstanding job getting rid of all the stuff we leave around.
And you have the French Racing Blue Gatorade.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So let's get to it. We've got Suzuka, and the big news that came out of Suzuka a couple of days ago, which was pretty predictable, is Schumacher is quitting Formula One. He's not going to go to HRT or Sauber. He's not going to stay at Mercedes as some kind of guru. And he is not going to be replacing Massa at Ferrari.
Yeah, and I hope he also does not go back to motorcycle racing. Just enjoy his Buco box and grand lifestyle that he has and, you know, take care of his son's racing career, who is also named Michael. So he has a lot of things to look forward to, and I wish him all the best.
Absolutely, I agree. His child is growing up. That's going to be a career he's going to want to develop with his son, and I think there's some good male bonding that's going to happen there. I certainly don't see Michael Schumacher going into the world of pundit, you know, like David Coulthard has with the BBC, which I think David Coulthard does a terrific job, or Johnny Herbert, or Martin Brundle. Where do you see...
I don't know what will happen. He will find something to do, but I just cannot see him. Remember when he was on the Ferrari pit and he made a very strange pit call for tires for Kimi Raikkonen, and Kimster was not happy even on his outlap. So, and I agree with you, he's not much of a talker, so he won't be too good on the RTL or whatever channel he wants to be on. And there was a news item that IndyCar should try to get Michael Schumacher. What is he going to do here, except for being totally unrecognized at races?
Absolutely. But, I mean, it would be fascinating, and I believe he would have a German following if he did IndyCars. And he could talk to Rubinho.
Yeah.
It would, no, and you know what? He's said it a number of times. He has no interests in racing, and especially in the oval tracks with the cement around you and all that, it gives them the willies.
Yeah, but you know, it's interesting how this thing started 3 years ago. I mean, when his return was announced back in orbit, it put poor Nico Rosberg in the shade for many months. And I remember nobody was even trying to do an interview with Nico Rosberg. But now Das Party is kaput. The glory, I would say, that was Michael Schumacher, and it was quite a glory in the days of Benetton and Jean Todt and Compagnie at Ferrari, will never be forgotten, and what a ride it was. The man from Kirpin, his hometown, owns almost all the records in Formula One, and the few things he missed out on were picked up by what the media calls Baby Schumi, your friend Sebastian Vettel. And like you said, I'm happy he's not going to Sauber or HRT or BMC. And I do remember, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners remember, when Graham Hill was racing in his final days as a driver in the mid-70s, early 70s. That was pretty sad to see such a great legend languishing in the back. champions should go out as champions, like Stewart did in 1973 on top.
So there you have it. No, I think it's wonderful. It's over. He's going to have fun till the end of the season. There'll be a big party again for him. Que sera, sera. But anyway, let's go to Suzuka. This is an outstanding and wonderful racetrack. Great atmosphere. You could just cut it with a knife. The Japanese are wonderful Formula One fans. Everybody is saying, and I find this absolutely fascinating, that it's going to be a Red Bull and McLaren fight this weekend all the way. No mention of Fernando, but I have a funny feeling he's going to be on the podium. And after this race, he's going to be leading the championship still.
Well, he will be, but I think his friends are now Lewis Hamilton and Sebastian Vettel and Mark Webber, because they're not going to take points from each other. But, you know, looking at the pace of these two cars, McLaren and Red Bull, there is still a lot of racing to do, a lot of points on the table, and Nando is going to be on the podium hopefully every race, because he is on a prancing mule and still making things happen. But I just, you know, it's not over till it's over, because all it takes, we saw what happened in Belgium, all it takes is one DNF from him and Sebastian Vettel winning that race. In the next two or three races, it could be a huge problem for him.
It could be.
Because he does not have the best package, so that's the reason. So let's see. Hamilton, you know, he's leaving. Who knows how much love there will be in that team. But I'm sure that both the team and the driver will do their very best. But, you know, Hamilton is one of those drivers, like my friend used to say, there are some drivers out there, they will find trouble on the track, even if there is none. So, Fernando, I think, has the edge, but I think one Kablamo for him and victory in that race for Sebastian Vettel, it will be three-peat. I'm sorry to say that.
I agree, but still, a lot of racing left in the season, and I certainly think that Ferrari, with their super dependability, don't forget, the Spa DNF for Fernando was because of Romain Grosjean and nothing else. On the other hand, we've had McLaren's not finished the race because of gearbox issues, we believe. We've had Red Bull's not finished the race because of their deal with the alternateur.
Magneti Marelli.
From what I see, the Ferrari is very dependable, and the Red Bull and the McLaren are, I wouldn't say fragile, but certainly there is some problems there. Now, Nico Hülkenberg was fourth in practice on this Friday, and that he's showing a lot of good pace. Unfortunately, Paul Di Resta crashed out at the beginning of second practice and couldn't get a time in, which is shameful, shameful, shameful. And the big talk in the paddock is whether Hülkenberg is going to Ferrari, Gutierrez is going to replace our friend Perez at Sauber. Really, the season for silliness has begun, and there's a lot of talk about a lot of stuff going on about a lot of teams. And this is all because Hamilton made the first move, which I thought was pretty testicular. And I'm proud of Lewis Hamilton and his team making this choice going to Mercedes, because it's really mixing up the field, and next year is going to be an interesting, interesting year.
Well, Lewis Hamilton, what a tough life this poor soul has. According to this week's Autosport magazine, he was in Thailand by the pool and spent few hours thinking about his team for 2013 before calling Martin Whitmarsh and singing the old classic, "Take this job and shove it." And I don't think that went down very well with Martin and especially Ron Dennis. But nothing is forever. Lewis, so far before the Japanese Grand Prix, has won 20 races with McLaren, which is the same number of victories with McLaren as Mika Hakkinen, who won back-to-back championships with the team. And just for the comparison purposes, Senna had 35 wins with McLaren, and Professor Alain Prost took 30 victories with Ron Dennis and company, and both won three championships. Well, Senna's all three championships came with McLaren, and Prost had how many with McLaren?
Three,
85, 86.
One with Williams when he came back.
Three with McLaren, right? 85, 86, and the 89, and then the fourth one was with Williams.
Williams, Renault.
Yeah, Williams Renault. talking of Nico Hulkenberg, this is being reported as strongly now as was Hamilton's move to Mercedes.
Correct, except that it's not endorsed by Eddie Jordan, who's now become a guru.
Yeah, exactly.
He's almost up there with Nasser Hamid.
Oh, please, please. I have a feeling that if Massa is not retained, Hulkenberg will slide in, because this guy has very impressive credential, Formula BMW. He has won a championship in every series he has gone to, and very convincingly. And if anybody remember him from the days of A1 GP, they would know how talented this kid is. And obviously, could have been a little bit more impressive in his Formula One time. But then, you know, Williams was not the car that was winning races, and he was not. So we'll see. I would really like to see him, because this is a very good, talented driver. Plus, I think through Lars Kaufmann of Kaufmann Racing, we can at least go and say hi to him in person if we happen to be in Deutschland, Uber, alles. What was the other name you mentioned? Luis Esteban Gutierrez.
Esteban Gutierrez, who is obviously their reserve driver at Sauber. The thing is, you know, people forget, even though he is really not mentioned too much in the front, but in the background, Carlos Slim, his dollars speak very loudly. And when Carlos Slim wants something to happen, there's usually millions involved. And if Carlos Slim and Sauber wants to keep Telmex...
But I got news for you. Telmex has renewed their sponsorship with Sauber.
Thank you.
And I'm putting two and two together, which is no guarantee.
Gracias.
That I will not be surprised if... Now that they have renewed their sponsorship, I will not be surprised if... Esteban Gutierrez is announced either this weekend or very soon as being promoted to Formula One. And I want to tell you one thing about this kid. He started his racing career here in the U.S. First two races, Formula BMW, from pole position. Okay, went to Formula BMW Europe, cleaned everybody's clock, won six races in a row. He was not very impressive in his first 3 years in F3 Euro Series, and also struggled in GP2. But when he took part in GP3... he cleaned everybody's clock, which included Rossi, Robert Wickens, quite a few. A lot of talented drivers went to GP3, as you know, and still do. So he really stamped his authority there. And this year he won three races. And everybody I've spoken to him, including drivers who have raced against him, team owners whose drivers raced against him, they have nothing but tremendous things to say about him, both as a person, as a kid, and especially as a racing driver. And when we interviewed Adrian Fernandez, who was Sergio Perez's manager, even he said Esteban, in terms of raw speed, is faster than Sergio Perez. And he didn't say this while he was at Ferrari, which is very important. And if you look at the junior career of Esteban comparing to Sergio Perez, no comparison. He just was very, very impressive. And if you have the speed, you have it. And I know that BMW, which was... the Sauber team, they were, people at BMW Motorsports were big fans of Esteban, especially Dr. Tyson. So let's see what happens, and we want everybody to be given a fair shot and then see what happens.
No, I think those are really, really good points, and it's going to be exciting. And to be honest with you, I think the Sauber deal is not going to stir a lot of interest. Really, I think now it's all about Ferrari and Felipe Massa. Yeah. That's the next step in this driver situation. But anyway, let's talk about Suzuka. It's exciting. Obviously, McLaren and Red Bull. I think Ferrari will be up there. We've got to admit that Schumacher is going to want to go out on a high. This is one of his favorite tracks. I believe Mr. Schumacher has six wins here. He holds the record for the most wins. Obviously, he loves it here. Nico Rosberg, he's going to want to prove his testicular fortitude to Lewis Hamilton, who's still at McLaren. There's going to be an interesting dynamic to Suzuka. Any thoughts on what's going to happen in qualifying and in the race itself?
I think, you know, based on the recent pace of drivers and teams, I think it's going to be McLaren versus Red Bull, or Red Bull versus McLaren situation. It's a driver's track, one of the best tracks on the circuit. I expect Kimi Raikkonen to do well. if he can do what he did in 2005, I believe, when he passed Fisico in the last
lap. Bravo, bravo.
I don't know
bravo.
If he can do that this time, but this should be a good battle between the two. Nando on podium will not surprise me. And let's see what Sergio Perez can do. But as far as the track is concerned, you know, this was designed by a Dutchman by the name of John Heugenholz, who also designed the Jarama circuit in Spain and what used to be the Ontario Motor Speedway in Southern California. And his son comes to America regularly to take part in the Monterey Historics. McLaren and Ferrari both have 7 wins at Suzuka. Williams and Benetton have 3 each. And you mentioned Schumacher is the most successful driver at Suzuka with 6 wins. Damon Hill won twice here and regards his 1994 victory in the rain as his favorite win. So that's good for him. And Kimi Raikkonen, of course, came back from the grid to pass Fisico on the last lap to snatch an amazing victory. And the old rivalry, Prost and Senna played, let's get physical to settle 2 world championships, which won't be happening this time around, which is good. But, you know, it's going to be an interesting race. It's a beautiful track. Love the photography at this track. And, you know, it's the only track that overlaps itself.
Exactly. So, figure 8. Yeah. I think it's a lovely track. This is actually one of the races that I want to go to in my lifetime. It's on the bucket list. Yeah. There are races people need to go to. I believe Monza is one of them. And I believe Suzuka is definitely at the top with Spa.
Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, I've never been to Japan, and I'm thinking of making a run there. If under normal circumstances, if other things remaining same, I'm fairly certain I will go to the Malaysian Grand Prix in March, and then, you know, I need another 6-month time to develop, you know, gather my vacation time and argent, and then I'll hopefully next year go to Suzuka. I really would like to visit Japan.
Yeah, so keep up the good work there. Quickly, before we go to break, what I really like
is myself.
Exactly. You've read my book?
Yes.
Me and the Mirror?
Yeah, me and the Mirror.
Yeah.
Hovered by me.
Correct. No, I'm looking forward to Suzuka. I believe it could very well be Jenson Button on pole again, because he's looking pretty sharp. But Sebastian Vettel really needs, if he wants his championship, and he has been hungry for it, Vettel could very well get pole and win this thing outright, which he needs to do. And, of course, Fernando, I believe, will be P3 on the podium.
And on the other side of the coin, if for whatever reason, alternator or whatever, if Vettel has a DNF and Nando is in the top 3, then it's seal of approval for Nando. At least one guy is out. And I think Hamilton has a long way to go.
Yeah. The other big story for me is Kimi Raikkonen and Lotus F1. By now, you know, the talk at the beginning of the season that they had a really good car. Third way into the season, they said for sure they're going to get a win. Now we're heading towards the autumn. The autumn leaves are falling.
Oh, my God.
And there's still no win. Once again, the double DRS has been dropped because it's a failure. They can't get it to work. Kimi Raikkonen sees Hamilton going over to Mercedes. He says Perez going over to McLaren. And he is not winning races. And I know Kimi, he's not a man of many words. But what he does like is winning Grand Prix. How is this going to stay together? That's my big question of the day. I mean, can Kimi Raikkonen and his relationship with Eric Boullier and the Lotus team as a group, how long is this going to last? I know there's some performance clauses in his contract, and I'm sure that if they don't come up with a better car, he's going to be looking elsewhere. Now, of course, there's not that many great teams at the front of the spear. But Nasser, please, before we go to break, tell moi, you think Kimi Raikkonen is going to last another season if Lotus F1 doesn't give him a good car?
Well, you know, I certainly hope so. I've always said this kid is probably one of the greatest racing raw talent ever to get into Formula One. But, you know, really he's paying the price of how we operated in 2008 and 2009. I mean, you know, when I tell people that there is a guy, an employer for a company who's paid $1 million a week, and his request is, don't ask me to come and talk to your customers, or, you know, don't ask me for an interview, that's not going to go down very well. And as they were mentioning on the Speed TV broadcast that Schumacher was basically pushed out, you know, he had lost the option of naming his teammate. And, you know, as hungry, as determined he was, he probably could have given them a championship in 2007 with the car they had and the civil war that was going on at McLaren. But I don't know, you know, he tried to get into McLaren last time and they could not agree on terms. McLaren does ask for a lot of, you know, time for sponsors and stuff like that. But I think his boat has left the marina, and we're not talking Yas Marina here, where some top team will bring him on board for top money and make him the number one driver. It's just not going to happen at Ferrari. It's not going to happen in McLaren. Red Bull, why would they? And the thing about motor racing, you know, as we see it with anybody, Nando, Hamilton, or Sebastian Vettel, if you're not in the best package, no matter how good you are, you're not going to win.
I understand, but my point in all this that I'm bringing up is I think Kimi Raikkonen would be a great replacement for Mark Webber at Red Bull.
No, I don't think so. I think they would be better off putting Ricciardo or taking a chance on Jean-Eric Vergne. And, you know, a lot of people are down on these two drivers because they haven't done, as Bob David Hobbs would say, they haven't done diddly squat. But, you know, you need to have a package to deliver. So I hope he stays and slugs it out with Lotus, and hopefully they'll win a race. But let's see what happens. I don't want to see him go back to perky-jerky NASCAR race or World Championship rallying. But, you know, the way he has gone and the way Lewis Hamilton has taken care of his affairs, if he wins with Mercedes, no problem. But, you know, if he goes 3 years without a win or one or two victories, then there's a lesson learned, you know, that even if you make it to Formula One, you really cannot dictate terms. Just ask Montoya.
Thank you very much, Nasser. Okay, well, that was outstanding. We've got a great Motorsports Mondial, so stick around. We'll be back.
Bonjour. Want to stay in a charming accommodation near the historic and famous Cognac and Bordeaux regions of southwestern France? Imagine yourself surrounded by the rolling hills and vineyards of the Charon region, sipping on Cognac or the local aperitif Pinot de Charon. Opening in June 2012, Bassinon offers traditional French country lodging in rustic stone cottages, fully equipped with modern comforts, suitable for families, travelers, or groups. Share a home-cooked meal with your host and soak in the ambiance and joie de vivre of the tranquil and rural French countryside. Bassinon is only a 90-minute drive from the Bordeaux airport or 30 minutes from the nearest train station in Angoulême. Navigate to bassinon.com for information or to book a reservation now. That's BASSINAUD.com. Allons-y.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. Greetings and racing regards. We have a champion in Formula 2 and British Formula 3, and a new championship leader finally in Formula Renault 3.5, also known as World Series by Renault. We shall start with Formula 2, season finale at Monza. Final race of the weekend and season was won by Swiss driver Christopher Zanella. Luciano Bacchetta of UK came in third, which gave him the championship title for 2012. So our congratulations to Signor Luciano. Surprise of the season was Swiss teenager Matteo Tuscher. He won the opening race of the weekend in the rain. This kid is only 15 years old and last year won the Formula Pilota Championship in China, which uses the same cars as Formula Abarth in Italy. Looks like he is French-speaking Swiss, and if the winning continues, he may end up as a French driver by the time he gets to Formula One. We've seen this Le movie before. The prize for winning the F2 championship is a test drive in a Williams F1 car, as the F2 car is designed and built by Williams Grand Prix Engineering. The series is promoted by Dr. Jonathan Palmer's Motorsport Vision. Next, British Formula 3, a series I've been following for a long, long time. Season finale at Donington Park, Jack Harvey started the weekend third in the championship, and after winning two of the three races of the weekend, he was a happy chappy as the 2012 Cooper Tires British Formula 3 champion, joining the likes of Senna, Piquet, Hakkinen, who all had championship success in British F3, before moving on to bigger and better things.
A lot of famous race car drivers went through this series.
Si, senor.
Including Danica Patrick.
Oh, my God. Jack Harvey is a talented young man and supported by the Racing Steps Foundation. Robin Freins, who is currently racing in the World Series by Renault, has raced against Harvey since their karting days and rates him very highly. And Jack Harvey has very kindly agreed to a Skype interview with F1 Weekly on Tuesday of next week. Hope this thing comes around, so it should be fun talking to him. Nice friendly kid, I've met him a few times, and his papa also. Another of our friends, Harry Tinknen, also took victory last weekend in one of the races at Donington. Jasmine Jaffer of Malaysia finished second in the championship, and impressive rookie of the year from Puerto Rico, Felix Sedales, was third. He led the championship at one stage, and this is his only second year of racing in Europe, so he has done a tremendous job. Actually, his first year in British F3 has been far more impressive than a lot of drivers who in the last 5 years won championship, except for Jean-Éric Vannes. He was like out of control in his first year. Harvey, Tinknell, and Sedales will all be in action at the prestigious Macau F3 Grand Prix next month, and I look forward to Mr. Interraptor providing the link to watch this race live again on the web, something I enjoyed very much last year when Marco Wittmann won the qualifying race and he got the shaft in the final race, which was very sad. So thank you in advance to Mr. Interraptor. Formula Renault 3.5 from Paul Ricard in the south of Francia. Antonio Felix da Costa, the latest love child of Dr. Marco, is on a hot roll and won the opening race of the weekend. Jules Bianchi, who is from Brignoles, not too far from Le Castellet, where the Paul Ricard circuit is located, won the second race of the weekend and took over the championship lead from rookie Dutchman and our friend Robin Freins. And we very happily include Jules Bianchi as one of our friends also. We've been dealing with him for many years now. Da Costa was second and Sam Bird third. American Alexander Rossi came in third last year and after changing teams for 2012, not having a good season. Only one round remained in Barcelona, coming up soon. German Tintop, also known as DTM from Valencia, Augusto Farfus of Brazil, became the first South American driver to win a DTM race since Johnny Chicardo at Brno in Czech Republic many, many moons ago. Adrian Tombe in his Audi was second behind the race-winning BMW, also known as BMW. DC was 11th and his buddy Ralf Schumacher 14th, just behind Mrs. Susie Wolf. Both North Americans in the race, Joey Han from SACTO and Robert Wickens from Toronto, failed to finish the race. MotoGP from Motorland Aragon near Alcaniz in Spania, local hombres came in first and second. Danny Pedrosa on a Honda winning over man from Mallorca, Jorge Lorenzo on a Yamaha. Italian Andrea Dovizioso was third and he's also on a Yamaha. Nicky Hayden had a nasty accident but he's okay, which is always good news. And the retiring Australian Casey Stoner will return to MotoGP action in the Japanese Grand Prix at Motegi next weekend. And Circuit of the Americas has confirmed MotoGP will race in Austin next year. I think the race is in April. Now we come to a section we call Behind Mansion Walls, courtesy of a new program on TV. Nico Hülkenberg is set to be the top dog in the running for the second Ferrari bone if Massa is put on a Greyhound bus out of Maranello. You know what their slogan is, leave the driving to us. So either they're calling Greyhound or United Van Lines.
That's beautiful. That's very snappy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he needs to catch up. Jaime Alguersuari is hoping to bring a fistful of dollars to Sauber to replace Sergio Perez, and he is making statement that he is for sure in Formula One, so I will not be surprised if we see him at Sauber or HRT. And talking of HRT, I read a news item today that Naren Karthikeyan may dive into IndyCar racing, which is what he should have done instead of paying $10 million there. Anyway, what else can we say? Oh, famous last words. Mark Hughes, a very well-known English journalist writing in Autosport, had this to say about Lewis Hamilton. He's about as predictable and settled as a cat in a bath. And I have a feeling Mark is not talking about Nicole Scherzinger.
I concur. Absolutely. No. I know what he's talking about. I think people get a little excited over on the other side of the pond. But I think, you know, and I know he's received a lot of praise, a lot of criticism, but I think this is a good move for Lewis. You know, to be honest with you, people don't realize that McLaren is not a familia kind of Formula One team. They're a corporation, and you are an employee. That's why you don't get the trophies. You know, you get a good paycheck, but that's it, and you're expected to perform. There's no loving. There's no kisses and hugging. Not like over at Ferrari, where everybody's kissing on the cheek 6 or 7 times, you know. There's hugs, you know. Yeah, I think he got more hugs from Norbert Hogg than he ever did from Martin Whitmarsh, and which I think is going to be a great team effort over there at Mercedes. Mercedes has the capabilities of putting out a winning car, so this is going to be an exciting season, 2013. But we still have 2012, my friend.
Yeah, and you know, like it was mentioned in Autosport, that McLaren probably took Lewis for granted that, hey, you know, we're going to offer him a big pay card because he can get a seat at Red Bull, he can get a seat at Ferrari, so let's, you know,
Fernando doesn't want him over there.
Oh, no.
So, we'll see what happens. There's a lot of things that are going to be blowing our minds, and we'll see how it goes, but I think this is good for Formula One. Sometimes you got to shake it up a little bit. And you have to do that with your career as well. So, you know, that's why we shake it up here at F1Weekly.com. And speaking of F1Weekly.com, you know, we haven't gotten any emails from listeners lately, Nasser. And I get a little irked about that. I'm not looking for praise. I just want to know if there's anybody out there in the woods. You know, does the tree make a noise when it falls?
Timber!
So, please, email us. All you have to do is say hello. But we want to get back to hearing from our listeners because, you know, it gets pretty lonely in this studio, Nass.
You know what they say, it's lonely at the top, so I guess you've reached the top.
Is that what it is? Well, it doesn't feel like it, so please, send us some emails. Tell us how we can improve the show, because there's always room for improvement. And there you have it. That's my tip of the day, Nass. Email me and read my book.
I'm sending you an email tonight.
Thank you, Nasser. I really do appreciate that. Anyway, once again, I forgot the 50 words from the Singapore Grand Prix, so I apologize to everyone. You know, I've got a lot of things going on in life, so sometimes I do forget my priorities. But anyway, there you have it. A great, great Japanese Grand Prix coming up. So thanks for listening, and good night.
Bye-bye.